That's too good. That's kind of scary good. Turn the book of Exodus with me this morning. Exodus 3. Talk about the great I am. The great I am. And the great I am may surprise you, but I'll tell you this. The great I am is not you. The great I am is not you. So, you know, we're in a generation of selfies now. Give me a little more volume, Jeremy. We're among a generation of selfies, whether it be young people or adults. And I know our teens are big into that, you know, taking their little selfies in the car, taking their selfies where they're at, and posting their little selfies of, look how pretty I look. Nobody really cares, number one, how pretty you look. But we're in that generation of, you know, about us. And there's one true great I am, and that is the Lord. And nothing changes until he moves. He's over all things. He's in all things. He created all things. And with him, nothing's impossible. So we're going to talk about where this I am came about. In Exodus 3, this is the call of Moses. We're going to begin with verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock. Am I right? Okay. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him into a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked and beheld the bush burn with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses says, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, and the bush is not burnt. Why the bush is not burnt? And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the fire, or the bush, and said, Moses, Moses. He said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither, put off your shoes from off thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he says, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord says, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt. I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, and I know their sorrows. Isn't that good to know God knows our sorrows? That God's heard your cry? We may think God's not hearing us. We may think God's not listening to us, but he is. God knows our fears. God knows our worries. God knows our sorrows. And God hears us. And I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them out of the land unto a good land and a large land, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said to God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh? See, the question is not who am I, it's who are you. We find out who God is, everything changes. Because God equips those that he calls. It's not about our abilities or about our talents. It's about God's anointing upon our lives. It's about God's authority. And if God speaks something, if God commissions something, it will come to pass. And all the gates of hell can't stop it. If God has something in motion that he has pre-planned and destined for your life, then all the naysayers and all the voices of the enemy cannot silence and cannot stop what God has called you to do, because God has said it. And God's word is the final word and the final authority. We sung that song, there's no God higher than you. There's nothing higher than God. There's nothing higher than his authority, nothing higher than his name. There is no name whereby men must be saved but that one name, Jesus Christ. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Every demon has to flee at that name, because it is a name of final authority. It has a higher authority than any king, any president, any world leader, any money, any riches, any power. There's nothing higher than that name, because he is the great I am. And I am thankful that I'm not that I am. Because I'm telling you, my life would be a mess without the hand of God. I would have no peace. I would have no direction. I wouldn't have any sanity without the presence of God. I mean, think about that. The world we live in, we would have a sound mind. The reason our mind is sound is because our soul is secure and we know who we serve. And that gives us that sound mind to know what our future holds. We have a lot going on in our country. Everybody's caught up in the, you know, who's running for president and all that. It really, understand this. We serve the King of Kings and we serve the Lord of Lords. And as long as I serve my King Jesus, it's going to be okay because I'm not part of this world anyway. I'm not part of this kingdom anyway. I'm part of the great I Am kingdom. I'm part of the one who called me out of darkness into his marvelous light. I'm part of the one who's the redeemed child of God, that this world doesn't dictate how I live or who I am, but the blood of Jesus told me who I am, that I am his seed forevermore. I am his child, and I have a destiny with the future in his kingdom, and that is reserved for me in the gates of heaven, waiting on that appointed day when he calls my name. So no matter what happens in the earth, it's not going to stop the most of what God's already done in my life. What's going on right now will not stop the future appointment God has got for me. I'm on my way to heaven, and the journey gets sweeter every day. Boy, that's the truth. We are on our way to a glorious kingdom out of this world, out of this realm of corruption and pain and hurt and heartache and all the stuff we deal with. Life is hard for the best of us. Life is hard and it seems unfair sometimes. But when we realize what happened 2,000 years ago, that God changed the balance of that unfairness and says, you know what? It's not fair. I suffer all the pain, but I'm going to and I will to redeem my people. So all the wrath of your sin come upon this one Lamb of God, and this one Lamb that was sacrificed produced a future generation of forgiven children of God. Hallelujah. He is the great I Am. Glory. What verse are we on? Verse 12. A couple more. He said, certainly I will be with you, and this shall be a token that I have sent you, that when you have brought forth the people out of Egypt, you will serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said to God, behold, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said to Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shall you say to the children of Israel, I am hath sent you. I am. Let's talk about what that means for a minute. Because it sounds to the untrained mind or unspiritual mind, makes no sense. I am. That is not a name. We know God has many names in the Bible, and I am just covers them all. It's just simple. I am what you need to be today. I am what you need to be tomorrow. I am what you need to be in that season of your life. I am your healer. I am your protector. I am your deliverer. I am your redeemer. I am your savior. I am whatever you need me to be. I am. There is nothing you can give to me that I am not. There is nothing you can present to me that I am not. I am all things and everything in your life if you'll let me be that I am. We got a go-to guy. You know, we got a go-to person. It's God. He's the I am. We search here and we search here and we search here finding answers when all the answers we need are in the one great I am who says, I am the one that always was. I'm the one that will always be. I'm the one who is right now. And I am always with you. I'm always in you. I'm always for you, no matter what you face. When we're in pain, he's still the I am. When we're discouraged, he's still the I am. When we have come to a point of losing our sanity and just don't want to go on anymore, God steps in and shows us he is the great I am. That you can get through this. I'm going to get you through this battle. I'm going to get you through this storm. Let me carry you. Let me hold you. Let me lift you. Let me take over. Let me fight your battle. Step out of the way and let me show you who I am, because I am your God, the risen King who has all power in heaven and earth to deliver and set free anything that has you bound. There is nothing impossible with God. We may have watered down the gospel, watered down the word. Tradition has watered it down so much that we have limited God. The song that the girls dance to, that we put borders around God. Well, yeah, God can do that, but he can't really do that. Who says he can't do it? Man, he's God. Hello? God Almighty. He can do anything. if he wants to do it. But our mind has to be prepared to understand who he is. I mean, man, we put more faith in our athletes than we put in our God. Think about that. Oh, Cam, take us to the promised land, but God can't heal me. We put more faith in other people than we put in God. We put more faith in our job, our money, our abilities than we put in the one who birthed us and breathed his breath into us and made us a living soul. Our heart doesn't beat because we're just in good shape. Our heart beats because God said to beat. No other reason. We take so much credit for our accomplishments, we would be nothing without the breath of God blowing in us. We are absolutely nothing without the presence of God. And the great I Am called us out of the darkness of our sin and reminded us, I've got more for you, something better for you, something greater for you than where you're at right now, if you'll let me be that in your life. See, there are many people that have made Jesus, you know, their Savior, so to speak, where, yeah, Lord, I'm a Savior, but they're not letting them be their Lord in their life. There's a difference. There's a difference. The Savior saves from our sins, but the Lord leads our lives. Are we letting him be Lord over all? I think about through the Bible how the great I Am was the great I Am in so many situations. The same great I Am that spoke to Moses was with him, just like he said. That great I Am parted that Red Sea when they were backed up for destruction. That same great I Am became a cloud by day. And that same great I Am became a fire by night. And that same great I Am became the water that gave them, quenched their thirst out of the rock. And that same great I Am became the manna that fell on the ground every morning for them to eat. And that same great I Am went before them when they fought every battle to claim the promised land. And every city was destroyed by the great I Am and the hand of God. The same great I Am was with Daniel when he shut the mouths of the lions. And the same great I Am kept the three Hebrew children from being burned alive. The same great I Am was with Samson as he took the jawbone of a donkey and slew thousands of Philistines supernaturally. The same great I Am appeared in all these situations and became what they needed him to be. See, Daniel needed to be kept alive. The widow woman needed to pay her bills and live, and her and her family. And God became that. The three Hebrew children were in a place of utter death, and the great I Am says, no, I'm going to show up in such a way that all the nation will see there is only one great I Am, and it's not King Nebuchadnezzar. He's not sitting on the throne with that kind of crown. This great I Am I'm talking about has a heavenly crown, and he is Jesus Christ, Lord of all. That is who the real great I Am is. We go throughout the Bible and see story after story of how the great I Am showed up in all these lives. We go to the New Testament. Man, Jesus on the earth. You know, there's verses, I am the resurrection of life. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. And we see how Jesus appeared to so many people and became that great I Am. The woman with the issue of blood that could not get healed by anything. She crawled her way in her broken, weak condition to touch the hem of his garment. And the same, now I want you to picture this. This is not a different God, church. The same God that was in the lion's den healed that woman of her issue of blood and dried her up and says, you have been made whole, for I have spoken it. That woman didn't need to be kept out of a lion's den. She needed her body healed. So the great I Am showed up and gave her what she needed. We see where Lazarus was dead for 4 days, and the only way he could be come back from the dead is for the great I Am to speak it. And he went to that tomb, and he spoke with a voice, Lazarus, come forth. For the great I Am has spoken. And I'm not talking about the great Wizard of Oz. I'm talking about the great I Am of all the world. He spoke. He didn't need levers and lights and a loud, funky voice. He just needed to speak the word of who he was. Lazarus, come forth. He'd been dead for 4 days. But when the great I Am spoke, death couldn't hold him. Grave clothes couldn't keep him. A tomb could not keep him sealed. For the voice of the great I Am was the greatest authority over all voices, including death itself. And boy, he called us out of that death. He called us out of our darkness. And we have that hope of the future simply because of him. He went on, and remember the Roman soldier that came to Jesus and says, Lord, I've got a sick soldier back home. I know you can heal him. Jesus said, well, I'll be that way. I'll come. He stopped him. No, you ain't got to come. I'm a man of authority, just like you. And when I tell my soldiers to do something, they do it. Just tell them. Just speak healing, and I know he'll be healed. Man, this was not even a follower of Christ. This was not a keeper of the word, more likely, but he understood the authority and recognized the authority Jesus had. And Jesus says, wow, I've not seen faith so great in all of Israel as of you. And by the time the captain got home, his soldier was healed. See, the word of God transcends time and space. It transcends the physical elements of being able to be here. It goes everywhere. And when God spoke that word of healing, I imagine when he spoke it, that soldier immediately recovered where he was laying. And by the time his captain got home, there he was, made whole. Because the great I am showed up. The great I am can do what you need done in your life. He can be what you need him to be. Don't give up because it's not changed. I truly believe that God's timing is perfect. I believe that all things work together for good to them who are called according to his purpose. And we may not like what we're going through, but don't mean the great I am's not with us. We may think life's unfair, but the great I am is still with us. We may not understand why things are happening, but the great I am is with us. And one day, all questions will be answered. And one day, everything will be fulfilled. In the meantime, I trust the Lord more than I trust any politician, more than I trust any government official, more than I trust any preacher, more than I trust any doctor or lawyer. I trust God. I trust him above all things, for he is all things. And I truly believe that when I absolutely am hopeless and helpless, the great I am shows up to provide that hope and that help. You need a healer, or you need healing, you have a healer. You need protection, you have a protector. You need provision, you have a provider. You need discouragement lifted, you have that. You need peace, you have that. You need joy, you have that. You need strength, you have that. You need strongholds broken, you have that. The great I am holds every key to what you need unlocked in your life if you'll trust him, if you'll let him be that. But we have people that the first thing they do is drop God. Drop God. You know, I text someone yesterday, said, I've really been missing you, da-da-da. Said, we'll be back soon. Said, he's got a lot of personal problems going on. Isn't that what we need, church? I mean, come on. Personal problems? Why is God the first thing we drop? I'll drop church. I'll drop coming to God. I'll just, you know, because I got things I'm dealing with. Let's run. Man, we ought to be running to God. I mean, running to him. Not running away from him. And that's the problem. Too many are running away from God instead of running to God. And if we realize that God is for us and what he has waiting on us, my Lord, he wants to give us all that he has if we will receive it. But it's like some people in your lives. There's some people you have to cut out because all they do is take, take, take. Don't give nothing back. Take, 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 take. You can't have a relationship with someone like that. So you got to cut it off. And for so many people, if they knew that God is always willing to give, 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 if we would just come to him, God, you've got what I need. I'm tired of carrying the battle. I'm tired of carrying the burden. I'm tired of being discouraged. I'm tired of, I've lost my joy. I've lost my hope. I've lost my strength. I'm tired of it. And God, I need you to show up. And he's saying, I'm here. I am the great I am. Whatever you need me to be, I can do. You know, I want to share Joe's story. Joe shared with the senior group ministry one meeting about, he had, what, 8 or 9 ulcers in your body? Was it 8 or 7 ulcers in your body going on at one time? 7 ulcers. You know what, Joe? You know how Joe got healed? It wasn't a magic potion. It wasn't black magic. It wasn't a pill he popped. You know how he got healed? The great I am. He was on his fishing boat one day down in Lake Norman to pray to God. He said, God, you got to heal me. You can heal these ulcers, God. You can heal them. He went back to the doctor for a follow-up, and guess what happened? They were all gone. Gone. And I'm going to tell you, I'd rather be on Lake Norman fishing and talking to God than being in a doctor's office. Wouldn't y'all? Amazing. That God truly can be what we need him to be. too many people are blaming God for their problems. God's not the issue. God loves us. Why did God do this? Why did God let this happen? Why is God against me? Why? You know, if we would learn the true nature of our God, we would see him as he truly is. You know, your kids, when you're raising them, they think, you know, when they get teenagers especially, they don't want to listen and don't think you know anything and embarrassed to be seen with you. You know, don't just drop me off here. Don't drop me in front of the school door. Just drop me off. You know, they want to walk, whatever. You know, they're embarrassed because, you know. But all of a sudden, when they get a little age on them, you know, get back maybe up in their 20s, early, mid-20s, they start looking back and realizing, wow, you know, you did love me. I just thought you hated me. Remember the Little House on the Prairie? I love that show, Little House on the Prairie. Remember when Nellie grew up and they got the other little girl, Nancy, the little brat? Boy, she was bad, wasn't she? And her famous line was this: "You hate me. Y'all, everybody hates me." You know, just a brat. I wanted to beat the hind end out of her. Nobody hates you. But sometimes adults, we don't do it that way. But we feel that way. We got that victim mentality. Everybody hates me. Everybody's against me. Nobody loves me. Nobody. God Almighty loves you. Man, get off your soapbox, off your horse, and realize Jesus did everything possible he could do for you. You know, Rodney said a few weeks ago, he made a great point. He was talking about people say, well, if I just had a sign, if God would just give me a sign. Remember the story of Luke, the rich man and Lazarus? And he was in hell, and he says, Lord, if you'll just send an angel to tell my brother this place is real, if you'll show up and tell them that it's real and don't come here, they'll believe you. Remember what the angel said? He said, if they didn't believe Moses and the prophets, they ain't going to believe this. And Roddy made a point that if Jesus came back himself in person and appeared in front of someone and says, I am Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and gave you the answer, we still wouldn't believe. Oh, that wasn't Jesus. That was a pill I took last night. Had some bad whiskey. That cigarette had some weird nicotine. I don't know, something, but that wasn't Jesus. I just ain't had no sleep. I don't know. It was a dream. Belief comes by faith, just like when you get married. When I married Melanie 23 years ago, it was an act of faith. And 23 years later, I can tell you, it was an act of faith. Because I'm telling you, I hear a lot of couples say they're scared to get married. Well, I'm just scared to get married. I was never scared to get married. Me and Melanie were young and dumb. We wouldn't have been scared. We loved it. We had what you call this, just, you know, we weren't worried about money. Wasn't worried about, do we have enough to get married? Here's all we worried about. Do you love me? Yep, I love you. Yep, I'm gonna get married. Yep, I do too. Yep, we got married. Just simple. What about money? What about kids? It's just, I love you. You love me. Let's get married. But you know what? It was an act of faith. Because I didn't know what she looked like 23 years from now. And God knows she knew what I look like. I had a mullet 23 years ago. You know what I'm saying? I was the Don Johnson of Miami Vice look. I mean, that's how I looked. Look how things change. I was Crockett. And now I'm croaking. I mean, things change. And so we're standing there, and I'm a 20-year-old, almost 21, and Melanie's 18, and she's a size 3, and I'm a size 31-inch waist, and got my hair, and we're sitting there, just a little beautiful little Ken and Barbie couple. And, Barbie couple anyway. And so we're sitting there, and here we are 23 years later, and I'm now not a size 31, I'm a 32. And Mel, you know, and I don't have quite as many hairs. Thank God he can still number them, and it's probably easier for God now, but things change. Think about this. If we're standing there at the altar and our preacher says, okay, here's a crystal ball of what you're going to look like 24 years from now and how your life's going to be, do you still want to go through with it? Heck to the no. I'm out of here. Thanks for letting me know before I pay you the preacher price. I'm gone. But you know what? It is an act of faith. And so me and Melanie joined hands, took vows to be with each other through good and through bad, through, you know, all that stuff. And we have. And we've had bad times. But the good times outweighs the bad times every time. The reason I'm bringing that up is kind of like God. A relationship with God is a relationship of faith. We may not think God is moving the way he should move in our lives, but he is moving. And if we can just trust him and give it to God and say, God, you do with it what you want to do with it. I'm going to back off and let you do what you do best. You are God. I don't know how to fix it. I can't fix it. I can't change it. I mean, if you've raised kids, you know you cannot tell a teenage kid anything to do. They know all the answers, and you know nothing. And so all you do is say, okay, God, and here's what I pray now, protect my kids through their stupidity. Ain't the best way to pray? Protect them through their stupidity, Lord. Protect them through their foolishness. Protect them through their own, you know, lack of wisdom. See, a lot of people have knowledge but no wisdom. There's a big difference. Knowledge is the understanding of something, but wisdom is knowing how to apply the understanding. It's a big difference. I mean, I may know everything about a 1965 Corvette, but I sure would know how to work on it. Probably know how to drive it, but I know about it. When you apply something, that's wisdom. So our kids may have a lot of understanding, but they don't have any wisdom yet. That's what, as adults, we've got them. We got the wisdom. That's why we try to tell them, look, you may be smart on this. You may be able to get on your little gadget and do all the stuff that mom and dad can't do. You may have all the, emojis? Do all the little emoji things on your texting to know what that means. I got one the day, I had asked Christian, or actually, what does that emoji mean? I had no idea what it meant. You may know all that, but you're still stupid because you're making stupid decisions. And so sometimes in our own stupidity, God protects us and he watches over us. He's still the great I am. Let him be the great I am in your life. Let him be the God that takes care of all your needs, because there's things we can't fix. In every situation that we take to God, I'm a firm believer. He hears our prayer. We don't have a God that is deaf. He hears us. And then we trust him. We trust him. God, I trust you more than I trust what I see. That's why it's a walk of faith and not sight. God, I trust that you are who you say you are. I trust you can do what you say you're going to do. I trust you're going to be in my life what I need you to be, even if I don't see it. God, I'm going to trust you. And Lord, one day I'm going to see that fulfilled and realized in my life. I'm going to trust you. There's times we feel like giving up and throwing the towel. We all have been there. I don't care how spiritual we are, how holy we think we are, how many spiritual gifts we possess, how churched we are, how much we shout or dance, how much we try to preach to others. Every one of us have had a point we felt like throwing in the towel. We get so discouraged or so overwhelmed or so stressed. Remember who the great I am is. I bet it's easy to read these stories of Daniel and the three Hebrew children and all the people and say, oh, wow, man, they had such faith, and they did. But don't think for a minute as Daniel's marching down that lion's den, he didn't have in the back of his mind, this could be my last few steps, but I'm trusting you, God. Don't think that fear didn't come. There's nothing wrong with fear coming into your life. That's fear is going to come. But it's understanding that the great I am is greater than your fear and that he can calm your storm. He can calm your situation. Just like he did the seas when he said, peace, be still. He can calm you. He can calm you while the storm still goes. I've told you the story of the peanut butter cookie and milk moment with my mother. You know, Jamie, you'll appreciate this. We're in Idaho Heights on Shoemaker Drive. Bad storm came up. Winds, I'm a little boy, I'm about 4 years old. Winds blowing, them pine trees beside my house was just swaying. And I was so scared. So scared. I remember crying. I was so terrified. I looked at the window and saw those trees swaying. And, of course, I called Mama. Mom gets me. We sit in our hallway of that house on Shoemaker Drive. She's got some peanut butter cookies there. We're sitting in the hall, me and her side by side, and I'm eating cookies and drinking milk, and she's calming me down. And you know what? Mom didn't stop the wind from blowing. Of course, at that age, I thought she probably could have. But she didn't. She didn't go out in the carport. Hey, y'all, you mess with my boy. Stop, wind, in the name of Jesus. Pine trees, be still. She didn't do that. But she calmed me. And as I sat there in the hallway, my focus wasn't on the storm anymore. She had settled me down and drew me into something else. And that's what God does sometimes. The storm can still be blowing, but God calms us. Just because a storm's going on don't mean we got to be a part of it. Now, I wish I'd had more faith in this message when I was on that cruise. Because I'm telling you, that was a disaster. It burnt me. I mean, Mel, I didn't tell Mel she had to go with someone else. Then she wanted to go again. Pick another boyfriend or something. I don't know. I'm staying home. Because I'm telling you, you're out there in the middle of that ocean and your ship stops. That's not normal. And then black smoke's coming out of the pipe stack up top. That's not normal. And the captain's doing some kind of Holy Ghost language. That's not normal. Alpha, alpha. What? And when the crew members are looking out the windows, you know something's wrong because they're trained. And I was like, in that moment, I mean, Melanie, it was so calm. She's ordering her cake. She wasn't worried. I said, honey, the boat has stopped. And she says, yeah, but don't mean we're sinking. Boats float. Oh, yeah. They do float. And then your mind starts playing. So I went on the little balcony and I looked down and said, honey, remember me? Honey, look, that water level was lower a while ago. It was lower a while ago. We're close to the water. We're going down. I mean, man, I had us doomed. This great man of faith of yours called Pastor James. I had us doomed. I'm like, man. We got back to Charleston, so help me. I was on my knees kissing the ground. Thank you, Jesus, for dry land. I like water. I like to swim, but I don't like to sink. There's a big difference. But, you know, my whole point of that was that even though that was a bad situation, that God can calm us in those situations. He didn't me very much because I wouldn't let him. It was my fault, not his. It was my fault. I mean, man, it's amazing how fear can get there and you just see your whole, I'm ready to call the kids and tell them goodbye. Don't call the kids. We're fine. I mean, I was like out there. I was like, oh, my gosh. When all you see is water around, I'm claustrophobic anyway, and I'm like, where are we going to go? I mean, I was hearing that music, you know what I'm saying? Da-na-na, the Titanic theme. I'm hearing that music in my head. I'm looking for the orchestra, the live orchestra playing the music, you know, as we're going down. Melanie, I want some carrot cake. Are you serious? How can you? I was done. How can you eat? I wasn't hungry. I was trying to find medication. I went down to the pharmacy. Give me something to calm me down. Goodness. One guy was so drunk. I said something about, man, the boat is stopped. I said, what's going on? He goes, oh, the boat stopped? I didn't know that. I thought I was still moving. You still moving. That's the deal. Maybe that's what I needed. I don't know. Oh, God calms us. The great I am was on that ship with us and watched over us. And I thank God for that. He truly is what we need him to be in our lives if we let him be that. Because God's on the throne, church. And there's nothing higher, nothing stronger, and nothing bigger than our God. And one day in that kingdom, we're going to see the fullness of him and all of his glory. And all of this fear and anxiety and pain and sorrow and grief we suffer here, it's going to all be gone. I believe that. I believe there's an afterlife in the presence of God that is eternal and forever. And this is a very temporary journey for all of us. Temporary. It's going to yield itself to a great manifestation of the glory of God. Just as Revelation says, where John said, I heard angels around the throne. Many thousands and thousands, tens upon thousands of angels singing, worthy is the Lamb. We're going to have that appointment in our future if we have Christ. And all this will be gone away with. The great I am that saved you, that called you out, you're born again by. It's the same great I am that leads you all of your life. Whatever problem you're going through, whatever storm you're in now, remember, nothing is greater than the hand of the great I am. And the devil is trying to destroy and disrupt and work against your life. But the hand of God is stronger than that work of the devil. It's stronger. Do not let the fear of tomorrow or the future rob you of enjoying today because you've only got it one time. You've only got today one time, church, and it's over. Tomorrow's Monday, then that's gone. Then you got Tuesday, then that's gone. And if we continually worry about the what ifs of our future, we never can enjoy the life God's given us now. I mean, think about, wouldn't some of you, you know, you say, man, if I could just go back and be 25 again, 30 again, oh, all the years I wasted just worrying and fretting and stressing and, you know, I couldn't do anything about it and still can't. Don't keep wasting your years when the great I Am is there to help you. And wake up every day and say, Lord, it's in your hands. Lord, it's in your hands. I can't fix it. I can't change it. And I'm only making my life miserable because of it. But God, my strength comes from you. And my strength comes from joy in you. And when we get our joy of the Lord back, we get our strength back. The Bible is clear on that, that the joy of the Lord, that's our strength. I guarantee if you're here today and you are spiritually weak right now, it's because you've lost your joy. I've been there, I know. Melanie's been there. We've been there. We know that when you lose your joy, you're not strong. When you lose your joy, you're more susceptible to become physically sick. When you lose your joy, you're no good to anybody else. When you lose your joy, you lose your witness. You lose your light. Keep that joy of the Lord. The great I Am has not left you. He's not forsaken you. He is with you. When Joseph was in prison, falsely accused for two and a half years, he was in prison for doing nothing wrong. He was truly an innocent man, a just man. He had been framed. He had been scandalized. But in those 2 years he was there, God's favor was with him. And one day the great I Am unlocked that cell door and said, today, Joseph, is your day of destiny. Today is your day of promotion. Today is your day of blessing. All the years you spent down here, it may have looked bad, but it was all for a purpose to position you for this moment right now in your life. And Joseph went from being a convict with a number on his back to a prince over numbers of Israel, of Egypt. Prisoner to a prince. You may feel like you're a prisoner now, but God ain't done with you yet. The great I Am says, I'm not done. Trust me. Look upon me. Know who I am. I've not ever failed you before. I'm not going to fail you ever in the future. I am your God that liveth in you. I am for you and not against you. Trust me. In God we trust. That's on our money, right? In God we trust. But man, we get so fired up when things go wrong. Let God just take care of it. I'm not saying we're oblivious and we don't fight ourselves for things, but too many times we forget we have a great I Am to go to. How many times do we battle a sickness and go days without even praying about it? We just try to fix it or Google it or figure it out, or we go to the doctor first. We don't even go to God and say, Lord, you're the great physician. You can heal me. God, I got a wayward child. And I can't do anything about it. You can take care of it. Lord, in my marriage, my relationship is not where it needs to be, and it's broken right now. And God, we can't do it. I need you to step in and fix that. I need you to reconcile the brokenness. I need you to take what's broken, God, and fix it. I need you to be the potter, and I truly am the clay. The problem is, we say, God, mold me, but mold me like this. You know, mold me this way, God. That'd be great. If we truly are the clay, we surrender ourselves to the hands of the potter who says, okay, I'll mold you. See, I understand. I recognized early in my life because my great teacher, my parents, to always be myself. And I learned in ministry to always be myself. And there are pastors and preachers and men of God I admire greatly, and I'll never be like them. And there's men of God who speak with elegant words and draw thousands of people, and I probably never do that. But I do know this. I know I try to be what God called me to be and true to where he has me at and thankful that he has me here. And whatever role God has for me, that's truly what I desire. God, you're the great I Am. Be what you need to be in my life, all my life, in every season. And I trust that I'm where you want me to be. And I'll take satisfaction in that. The problem is many start trying to get out of their realm of gifts into other areas, and it's not what they're called to do, and they fail. Stay true to where God has you. Stay true to your calling. There's only one you. There's only one Jazz. Only one Von Seal. Can I get amen? Only one Sharon and Joe. Only one. I mean, every one of us are unique. individuals. There's only one of us. We start comparing ourselves to other people's when we get in trouble. I don't care what the Joneses drive. Who cares what another couple has or what house they live in? Man, be you. Too much of that junk going on, we get ourselves in trouble comparing ourselves to others. I understand me and Melanie are very different individuals. Our marriage is probably unique. This ministry is unique. You know, and that's how it's supposed to be. And I'm thankful that I'm different. I'm thankful Melanie is different. I'm thankful that we think maybe differently, or that, you know, I'm thankful. You know, Melanie's a very practical woman, and she's a very simple woman, actually. She's very low maintenance. Thank God for that. And, you know, I thank God that she's like that. All these years, she's been that way. You know, for years, we're not going to eat anything for Christmas for each other because we've always took care of the kids. To us, the kids are the priority. Make sure the kids have gifts. We're okay. I don't need a gift from you. You don't need a gift from me. You got this, baby. What else you need? Now we have got stuff for each other, but most time we don't do that. You know, Valentine's Day. I don't know if we don't ever do anything for Valentine's Day. Hadn't in years. I'll get her a Kit Kat. Oh, I know what you're Kit. I'll see y'all Kit Kat. I better have more than a Kit Kat. No, Kit Kat. See, it's the thought that counts, right? I ain't cheap. I'm not cheap. Melanie will tell you, I am very, very liberal in my spending. And I've took care of Melanie all these years, and she knows it. Yep. Y'all do that together. Thank you. So, but my whole point of that was, I don't have no idea now, but I had a point to that. But anyway, about being yourself. Be true to who you are and quit trying to be like someone else. And just be happy with what God's given you. Each one of us have things that other people don't have. There are a lot of people got more money than me and Melanie. Drive better cars, live in better houses, but they don't have each other. And I wouldn't trade a house on Lake Norman for Melanie in 100 years. House on the beach would be really close, but I wouldn't trade a house for nothing for Melanie because I love her. I know, baby. The great I am is with you. Trust him. Believe in him. And let him meet your needs, whatever it is. Because God knows what it is. You know, when you're 20 years old, you got problems. They're real. I understand that. When you're 40 years old, you got different problems. And that's just real. When you're 60 years old, you got different problems, and they're real. When you're 80 years old, you got different problems, and they're real. You know, and God sees what's going to happen. Many of you in here are widows or widowers. You've lost a spouse. It's tough. God knew this season of your life would come, and that great I am is still there to comfort you and help you and fill your home with his love and mercy and peace that goes beyond our understanding. That when you lose your partner of 50 or 60 or 40 years, you lose your best friend, how hard that is. But how the great I am steps in and says, you know what? I'm still with you. And I will carry you through this grief. I'm going to carry you through this storm. I'm going to carry you through this battle. I know the house may seem empty. I know it may be lonely, but I'm going to get you through. That's what the great I am does. He gives us what we need. Trust him. Believe in him. Marty, come on up here and get a song ready for us for our closing out of our offering and closing. Whatever is going on in your life today, you have a king who can take care of it. I promise you. You got a king who's alive and well that can meet every single need you have. Look back at what God's done for you already. I think that's a good thing to do sometimes. Reflect on what God has done for you and what he's brought you through. Where would you be without him? Lost. Thank God he's with us and in us. Tommy and Laura, it's good to see y'all back. I know you've been doing some traveling. The babies are in the back, I guess. Doing okay? I ain't heard no fire alarm go off or no siren, so all right. Awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Ushers, come on up this morning. Give you a chance to give your tithes and offerings today to the Lord. Hey, David. Good to see you, brother. Father, we thank you for this message. We thank you for your word. We thank you. We serve a great I Am who is above all things. No matter what we face, Lord, you're there. That if we just realize to lose ourselves, to lose our abilities, and just surrender to you and say, God, in my weakness, I'm then strong. We just know you will meet the needs. We ask your blessing upon the offering today, that you use this seed to bless your work, to bless the kingdom, to bless those that sow a seed, to let them know, God, that as they give unto you, they are trusting the great I Am for their needs to be met. Bless every hand that sows in Jesus' name. Amen.